Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, help us understand the times in which we live and what to do for the kingdom of God as we love God and love our neighbor. As Matthew 22:37 says, in Jesus' name, amen. Help us, Lord, to gain godly understanding. Scripture tells us to fear not. And Lord, how do we deal with the events in the world which cause us concern? For all of history, there has been violence in the world. And yes, we are told to fear not, but we are aware of the events going on around us, even October 7 in Israel and 9/11/2001 in New York City. Before that, many events, Pearl Harbor, World War II, Genghis Khan in 1200, the Roman legions 2,000 years ago. In life, we have events and we have real concerns and imagined concerns. So, Lord, help us to deal with all of it. We know there are threats of war and terrorism around us today. January 2024, the Swedish Prime Minister of Defense and Sweden's Commander-in-Chief warned its citizens to prepare for extreme war. So we wonder if we here in the United States should also be concerned. Well, it's easy to be concerned about our future with all that goes on. Or even if we read the Bible, for instance, Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, all talk about wars, rumors of war, pestilence, and more. So in these days, there are wars and there are terrorist attacks. Last year, China, Russia, and North Korea all spoke in a way that suggested they would like to attack mainland USA. And Lord, we ask, what should we do? And now with that January 2024 message from Sweden's Minister of Defense and Sweden's Commander-in-Chief, we can have a little bit more concern about extreme war. And there are parts that are making other countries unstable. There are things that are calling citizens to have a military state of mind. And so we wonder, what ought we to do? I remember last year China had told its people to be prepared, its military people, to be prepared to die for the country. And last year, Russia had a nationwide nuclear war drill. So Russia and European countries distributed potassium iodide pills. And that would be good for anyone to have in case there was a nuclear incident. The potassium iodide is good potassium that gets absorbed by your thyroid gland so that your thyroid gland does not absorb the radioactive iodine, and the thyroid gland would thus be killed. And it would have a hard, difficult time for anyone who lives through that. So we can get some potassium iodide for the just in case. It costs $50, maybe $100 for a bunch of it. And it tells you how much to give each person. It's something it's good to have on hand. And as a reminder, intercontinental ballistic missiles, which could come from Russia or China or Korea, will arrive 30 minutes after launch. And of course, that is not enough time to get your potassium iodide or your supplies. So it's a good idea to get some things together in advance for the just in case. Do realize that if there were a nuclear event, there would be an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, that would stop electricity and communication, including the ability to pump gas or get money out of the bank or have any transaction. The lights in the retail stores would not work either, nor would the cash registers. There are just signs of danger all around us, and people commonly have very little to protect themselves. I don't know why we think of having insurance for our home and for our car. We do have a first aid kit in most homes. We might even take a snake bite kit with us on a hike. So we are prepared for an emergency in some instances. So why not have a few preparedness supplies for just in case there were a big event, like a war, or terrorism, or even an earthquake that, well, we see the earthquakes growing all around the world, and we know they could affect us in the United States. So be aware of things that are going on, and have a little preparation for if, well, who knows what, bullets, explosions, or an earthquake happen in our country. If there were something like a nuclear event, we know the country would be closed up tight, and we would have to wonder, how are we going to survive without modern conveniences easily available? We could not expect there to be gas or groceries. And I think of the migrants coming into the country now, I think they would have a better chance of surviving because they are accustomed to living without all the wonderful things we have in the United States. Sometimes they would live without electricity or transportation. They are used to fighting for resources that they need to stay alive. So that puts many of us U.S. citizens at risk for not having enough determination to stay alive if we would ever be in that position. There's another thing that we U.S. citizens have is the expectation that the U.S. government or FEMA will save them. And I think about disasters in the past and how the agencies we have expected to help us have failed. I think of Hurricane Katrina, where there were so many people who needed to be rescued and they were sent to stadiums, like 25,000 people in the Superdome. And the reports after that were how very many people had been both robbed and raped in the Superdome by people who were all kind of refugees from Hurricane Katrina. So it's something that we can all be aware of what happens in the event of an emergency or a disaster, and how we want to protect ourself and our family and our loved ones from such a disaster. I think the real point of this is to get prepared now, because we have things available now, and in a real bad situation, we don't know what would be available. And we know that these days are full of people who want to take advantage of others. It can be during a weather event or a terrorism event. And so it is sensible to have those basic things that you need to live, like water, water filter, food, and warmth. Beyond that, there are many things we could use, but we all have to make a determination of what we will have on hand for the just in case. I have heard many people say that they would rather just die than go through such a difficult time, a difficult trauma. Well, the trouble is, we all have people who we know and people who we love, and they need to get through a difficult time also. And so if we are prepared for us, or even for others, even for our loved ones, that is a good and godly thing to do as we prepare for a natural disaster, or even a war or terrorism. These are things that are coming about right now. And I think of that as a way of loving our neighbor, as the Bible says. Well, after the U.S. intelligence has warned us for months that our enemies are, they have penetrated our electrical and our communication structures, the infrastructure of the United States. Our intelligence people say we are vulnerable, and that is another reason to get prepared. It has been noted that this penetration has also been throughout our military people and our government people. It's just another reason to have preparation materials for the just in case. And certainly, we can only guess at what is coming, but there have been people who tell us, they leak information and tell us about how serious the enemy has penetrated our infrastructure, especially electrical and communication. So it's another good reason to have our own personal and family preparedness. And I do think about, what if there were wartime conditions? What would we do if a war came along? And I just mentioned Matthew, Mark, and Luke, how it does talk about wars and rumors of wars. And if there are wartime conditions, what does that mean? It means shortages. It means things will not be available and we will have restrictions in many ways. Oh, about 30 years ago, I knew a man, and I knew him for 25 years. So I got to know him and know that he was a man who didn't lie. And he talked about buying a new set of tires for his car. And then about 3 days later, World War II was declared. And a few days after that, like 5 days after that, the U.S. War Department sent people out to get supplies for the war effort. And because there were records that he bought new tires, the War Department came to his home and took the tires right off of his car. They left his car on its rims in the driveway without tires. So it took him about 10 days, and he found a set of used tires for his car. But my point is, how things change when there are wartime conditions. And it's something that we can be aware of how things can change in our own country. Be aware that desperate times call for desperate measures. And if there is no materials available, we really don't have much choice. We get whatever we can, or we have things taken away from us. Well, we do thank God for all the prosperity that we have right now with the life we live. Yes, United States of America is wonderful, and there are goods to get right now that you might want to think of acquiring. You might want to think of being charitable also at a time when you do have a little bit of extra to give, or maybe to a church and maybe to missions or something. You can be charitable in ways that only you know. Well, let us be thankful to God today, as we don't know if we will have tomorrow to give our wealth to other things like churches or missions. Well, there's many people who have contributed to a strong America, and of course I think of the Founding Fathers first. Our Founding Fathers pledged their lives, their honor, and their fortunes to form a free America. We owe much thanks to the people which made a foundation for a free America, and they were godly men. Now, I know that these days there are modern historians that tell a different history than what our Founding Fathers were about, and they say that they weren't really Christian. Well, in my reading, they certainly were decent men. And if you have questions, look up the original writings of these people, and it'll be obvious to you that they were Christ followers. We have a wonderful American history. And I think of some of the people in the past, like Abraham Lincoln. And he said that if destruction were to come to our nation, it would have to come from within the country. And we have lots of discord in our country right now. Oh, I think of George Washington also, and his visions. You can look up the visions of George Washington. And one of them was by a heavenly visitor who told him that America would have 3 wars. And it's pretty assumed that they were the civil... Well, let me start with the American Revolution first. It is presumed that they were the American Revolution, the Civil War, and a future war, which, well, now I think it could come at any time. The vision that he had was that life in America was almost extinguished after America was invaded from overseas. And throughout America, there was mortal combat, life and death combat. And that the lights, and I believe he was referring to the spiritual light of America, almost went out. Well, evidently, there will be an enemy coming from overseas to conquer America. And I don't know what to tell you to do, but I am familiar with that vision, and I do have history to show me that there is a logic to what has happened in the past, and also a logic of what conditions the Bible talk about as a logical order of things to happen. I think of Ezekiel 14:13 through 21, and that talks about the woes that are going to come to America, and you think of famine and pestilence and hard times. There's other parts of the Bible that talks about the order of things, which can be famine and war and pestilence. And there is a question of, will it really come to America, and how long will it last? I was listening to Pastor Steve Cicalante of Discover Ministries, I guess a week ago, and he talked about how you can recognize the horsemen in current events. And according to what he saw was that each horseman event was going to last for 3.5 years, whether it was disease or whatever it was. And we had the COVID, and he says now there's disease X that is coming about. Lots of things to ponder. And it's not exactly like we know for sure that anything is going to happen, but we know the progression and we know the events because the Bible tells us. So we can try to put things together on our own, and we look things up and we get understanding. I do see that we are at the time of Daniel 12:4, where there will be many that will run to and fro here and there, and knowledge will be increased. And that is what I see all over our land and all over the world. People are traveling to and fro in cars, in airplanes, and everything. And knowledge shall be increased. And that is so obvious that is going on right now. And that makes me say time is short until the end. Of course, we don't know if short means next week, next year, or in 20 years. But we can see that time is short. And so people are responding to it in two ways. That's what I see. One group of people says, oh, time is short. I want to live holy and pure and await my Lord Jesus Christ. And the other group of people will say, oh, not much time is left. I better enjoy the sin that I can until death comes. So we have the two groups of people, and we get to choose which group are we going to be a part of, the one that wants to stay holy and pure, or the one that wants to enjoy sin. And we can be aware that this is going on in our world, and we might have to be cautious and careful for what's going on. Well, meanwhile, we can all pray for the unsaved. And prayer makes a difference. I certainly think of how prayer has, I've seen that benefit many people and myself too. And prayer helps us to align our will with God's will. So I know I'm not the only one to wonder about how much time we have left and what's going to happen in that time, but we can certainly do something for what we see is going to come about. And like many others, I do wonder what we are going to be going through now, tomorrow, next year, in a few decades. I just wonder about it, and I think of John 16:33, where it says, in life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I, Jesus, have overcome the world. So I think of the tribulation. I think of what's going on now, what has gone on with so many people. I'm just grateful that I live in this time of the blessings that there are. And there's so many things that are blessings, and sometimes we get so busy we forget to look at the blessings that we do have, both spiritually and physically. Well, we also can look at the spiritual and physical aspect of what would happen if trouble comes along, and we can say, what should we do? And how can we avoid the trouble that is likely to come? And we all look at it different. We all have a different idea. But people do make choices. We choose what to do about the trouble that we see coming, and we try to avoid it. And may God be with you as you choose a path to God and loving your neighbor. Loving God and loving your neighbor. I do think of Matthew 7:13, where it tells about entering through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So let us be diligent to find God's path to heaven. We learn as we look around. We learn as we read Scripture. And let us also pray for the people around us, both the saved and the unsaved. Everyone needs prayer. And so pray for those around you, all the people. Pray with as much specific as you can. And we want to be careful not to judge people as to eternity, because that is God's judgment. And if you're around, you have heard people say, oh, they're going to heaven or hell, whatever. And the thing is, that is really only for Jesus to judge. And we must be very careful about not judging people in that way. Now, we can judge their behavior and see if it's something we want to be around. And that's all right. That's good to do. But not their eternal destination. Well, there's much to look at in this world. And we see people and we see how they live according to the principles that they have. We see that there are people who want to persuade you to join them in their causes, both good causes and bad causes. And be sure to take the time that you need to look and understand what is going on around you so that you contribute to the godly cause and not the ungodly cause. Let us be patient with others who do not have the understanding or knowledge that we have acquired. For most of us, it has taken us some years to get to the point where we are today. And let's be understanding when other people are not understanding what we do. So we can always pray for the people, but have patience with people who do not have the same understanding as we have. It can take time to gain biblical knowledge. And each time I read the Bible, I know I get more and more understanding. And if you are one who is going to read the Bible or is telling somebody else that it would be good for them to read the Bible, remember that many people, including me, take one whole year to read the Bible from cover to cover. So we can listen to people who know the Bible or listen to the Bible on tape, which takes still about the same amount of time. And this is just to say that we must be patient with people to learn what is godly, as in what the Bible says, and to put things into effect into their life. So let us be patient with people. Let us be patient with anyone who is learning and studying the Bible. It takes time. And when you think of all the pressures and distractions that everyone is having in life, you want to be understanding about how it takes time to learn, for instance, biblical principles. There are all sorts of distractions in life, and we have them all around us with people, with media, with our cell phone. We have many things which just plain distract us in life. And so it's good to be understanding of the time that it takes a person to have understanding. I think of how in the olden days, things were relatively simple, and there were not the same distractions in life. And we had things that were more understandable on a basic level. And still, in the olden days, there were people who tried to persuade you personally or over a radio commercial or TV commercial. And we have to realize that a part of this persuasion is to have sales and advertising. And that's what they do. People try to manipulate the person who listens, who hears the advertisement. And we can learn from, there's a book called Propaganda, by Edward Bernays. It was written in 1928, and he was the nephew of Carl Jung, who was a psychoanalyst. So anyway, Edward Bernays, in his book from 1928, Propaganda, tells us about how to influence people and get them to agree with what you would like them to agree with, whether it's selling them a product or anything else. Well, there have been programs in place to persuade people one way or another. Our government has done that too. Other governments have done this. The one I'm thinking of is Project Mockingbird, that has for about 50 years been having the government agencies secretly direct television media to indicate one thing or another, which really is to manipulate public opinion. So you can look up Project Mockingbird and see how it is a way to manipulate the American public. But nowadays we have another condition going on that is affecting so many people. It is artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence has been perfected to such a great degree that it is impossible to tell from film footage on television or on YouTube or something if there is a true recording of a person or if that recording has been generated by artificial intelligence. It used to be that the voice recordings could be told if they were artificial intelligence, but not anymore. Now, neither the artificial intelligence nor the human ear can determine if the voice that is speaking is from a computer-generated system or if it is a real human voice. And that is how things are going now and how artificial intelligence has advanced. And it is something that we're going to have to deal with, to not know where the information is coming from. We will probably not be able to tell if we are being manipulated by having, who knows who? The president, the commander of our army or Marines or whatever. We won't be able to tell if there was a recording of either video or audio. And so it's going to be hard to understand what to believe in the future, what is real and what has been generated by artificial intelligence. It is all an effort to manipulate public opinion and get people to do what they want people to do. That's been forever. In Greece, in Rome, in all the cultures and civilizations since, it has always been a desire to get people to join your cause, either in politics or to join your military, to fight, to die for their country or for their family or for money. Whatever the gain is that is being used to manipulate people to join their cause has been set out to manipulate all of us people in the United States and the world. Manipulation has gone on all over, and it is going to continue as computers get more and more able to, manipulate people. It's going to get to the point where probably we are not even going to be able to tell if the image and the voice is computer-generated or if it is a real warning or call to action or anything else. That's how good artificial intelligence has gotten. Worse than that, artificial intelligence has been able to do things with their machinery to go upstairs, to go downstairs, to jump and walk normally, or even to hit or to shoot people. Robots have advanced to such an amazing degree that they very well may be telling us people what to do in the future. And what are we going to do when we can no longer tell the difference between if a machine is talking to us or if a person is talking to us? I suppose what we're going to do is learn to have that relationship with Jesus Christ and be guided by the biblical principles as to how we live and how we interact with society and with people. I'm not sure how else we would do it. There doesn't seem to be another way to learn if it's artificial intelligence or a living person that is speaking and acting. I know there's a question of if there are angels, and if the angel is a godly angel or an evil angel, and how do we even recognize if an angel is speaking to us, or if it's artificial intelligence? That's another one that our government has been working on, called Project Bluebeam, to project images that are in the sky or in a stadium or a high school gym. And there can be images of people. There can be images of fish or animals or Jesus or an army or an evil angel. All these things, like Allah, there are images that are available to these elite groups, and we have to get an understanding of how do we determine what is reality and what is generated by artificial intelligence. Computers keep getting more and more advanced, and there is something called a quantum computer that has gotten into the news again lately. Oh, I think about 3 years ago, I reported on quantum computers on this broadcast, and I talked about how advanced they were, and they are still just as advanced, or more so. The quantum computers are acknowledged to be not 1,000 times faster than a mainframe computer, but 1,000,000 times faster than a mainframe computer at going through calculations. And the quantum computers are being developed in different countries. Sure, United States and India and Russia and China. And lately, IBM has come out with a commercial model of quantum computer. It's called System One. And they have a next computer called Advantage Two. Quantum computing could lead to new everything, development of good and evil. All these things are available to what can now happen because of the quantum computing. And when I think of what could happen to a artificial human in a robotic form, and when you think about how that could be influenced by a quantum computer, it just changes everything. Well, right now, there are computers they can cost $1,000 to get a simple human companion that is actually a robot. And some can do plain and simple human tasks. What a situation. Our world is changing. And man's knowledge is increasing, and we are creating things that are our own imaginations. And it makes me think of Genesis 3:5, where God said to Adam and Eve that if they ate from the tree of knowledge, that they would know good and evil. In the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as little g gods, knowing good and evil. And that's the thing that we see right now. We see knowledge increasing and increasing from what it used to be to what it is now. And it's something which we can only guess what the future will bring. But it can't be that easy. When you think of right now, the things that are just amazing in front of us, with warfare and what can be done, what would happen if artificial intelligence became quicker and more calculating? It's a question. And we have already to seek how we now live with the advances. I mean, really, would we rather have the technological advances and live in a world of war and robots coming after humanity? And we have planes and missiles and depleted uranium rockets. All these things are because we have advanced in knowledge so much. And I wonder who would choose to live with this knowledge, and who would choose to live at a simpler time you know, at that island paradise that some people think they want. It's not an easy choice, because to think about doing without the modern conveniences is hard for us to imagine. But we do have a kind of choice like that to see what we want our future to be. Will it be full of danger and threat? And it is real. It is a real threat. And I think back to Hawaii in 2018, where there was the emergency alert that read, "Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." So is that what we want to live with, that kind of a threat going on? Or would you rather live on a desert island where there wouldn't be radiation and bombs and bullets? What a question, huh? Well, we do have kind of a choice about what we are involved with, and we are also having choices about what humanity is involved with when we think of, like the choices there have always been. Are we going to fight, or are we going to love? Well, humanity has a history with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Jacob and Isaac and Joseph and his brothers. Lots of trouble. And then Jesus came and taught us love. We have a choice, but we have to make a choice about how we are going to live. Are we going to live with loving our neighbor, or are we going to live like monsters live, to choose fear and force? You know, in the past, there have been so many bad things. There have been authorities who cut off people's hands, who burn people to death, who skin people alive, who tie people to an anthill. There have been people that would nail other people to a cross. So are we going to allow that kind of a past? Or are we going to choose the real love of Jesus? Well, let us thank Jesus and follow Jesus as an example of love. And I know it's not always easy, but we do always have the choice of what we do. We might not have a choice of what suffering we go through, but we do have a choice of how we react to the suffering. Whatever the difficulty will be, we have a choice. There are so many people who have suffered violence in the past and torture, sexual assault and everything. It's been common to mankind. So we can control some of it, but maybe not what happens that other people do. And how are we going to react to this? We can always control how we respond to violence. And sometimes it is rightly violent or aggressive, and sometimes it is right to show a compassion. Now, we all have to study our Bible to get an idea for what the appropriate response is. And there might not be an appropriate response, because sometimes violence just needs a violent response, and there's nothing more than that. And we have to stand in and protect the innocent. And if you ask me, that's what men have done throughout the ages. Well, I don't know what's going to be appropriate for you, but there is a form of self-defense that we can do, and a form of defending the innocent and helping the people in need. Now, that's always been the case, and we get to choose how we're going to live this life. I'm just thinking back on a PBS broadcast. I watched where there was a discussion of the Coptics that were beheaded on the beach by Muslims in 2015. And there were some people that were angry, and some people were trying to be forgiving. And I remember one Coptic woman who said that her husband was among those beheaded, and she was proud of her husband and proud of the example that he gave her and their child. It's really quite a thing to change our orientation to revenge and violence. And certainly, I know there's a time for acting so that the violence does not continue. People hurt, and it's no fun to watch people hurt. As we go through the life of just living, and we see the things around us, we can see that there's a lot of bad that goes on, and somehow we want to stop that evil and protect, yes, us and our families who we love, the other people who we love. We want to protect the innocent. And there's only so much that we can do. But that is what our goal is to protect the innocent. And sometimes it takes a violent response to do that. I say read the Bible and get understanding and know the examples of when things happen and how you can be faithful to God as you go through life. Sometimes it's not easy to make the choices that we are called on to make, but that is what we do because we follow Christ. And to follow Christ, it sure helps if you read a little bit of his words in the Bible. That helps a great deal. So I encourage you, yes, to talk with Christian people and to be a part of a Christian community, whether it's on the block that you live, or whether it's in the church that you attend, or a social group. It's something that we can all search for the answer of, well, think of that old saying, what would Jesus do? And it's something that, well, it's not that we can do what he did, but we can look for his examples. And that's what I think we do. So remember that if you ever want to listen to any past broadcasts of Christ Today, you can do that by going to www.christtoday.org. I think of all the things in the Bible that we can learn from the divine wisdom of Jesus Christ. We get wisdom, and we get comfort, and we learn how to comfort other people. All of these things can be found as we go through God's love letter to us, the Holy Bible. And I also think of a passage from Isaiah 55:6 that is, seek the Lord while he can be found. And so, search for God, have that relation with Jesus and be born again. I know all around us we have a world that we live in. It's not always friendly. It's not always easy. And our society is sometimes for us and sometimes against us. And we want a normal life with the richest of life that we can see around us. And sometimes we have to plan for that and make provisions to have things for ourselves and the people we love. It takes a plan. It takes intention. It takes knowing what godly principles are and living by them. That's what I've learned in life. And in the midst of all the problems that there are, including violence and terrorism, it becomes obvious that we have concerns all throughout life. We have a system that gets us into its mode with finances, with military, with government, and somehow we have to realize that we want to be in God's economy and God's system and not the one of the world where there are so many stresses and strains. There are the tensions in life. There are the tensions with money. There are the tensions with ownership of anything. And there are political things going on. We have stresses. We have the public expense that is escalating so fast. We have a question of who is coming into our country. Is it destabilizing or is it a help for us? Well, we have many levels of government for us to react to, and we have our input that we can talk with the people around us, and that is our the people we can influence by discussing things and bringing Jesus into our understanding. Whether our country collapses, our society collapses or not, we still know the most important part is to love Jesus, to live according to the will of God, Jesus. And that means we may have to preach the good news of the gospel to the people around us. And God bless you in that. And if you want to ever look at a past broadcast, you can go to www.christtoday.org. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Shine your